Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Holy Ghost Radio Show, a spirit-filled show with a prophetic mandate to reach the lost and impact God's people with biblical and revelation knowledge. We pray that the Word of God will make a difference in the lives of every listener. So tell a family member, friend, and a neighbor to tune into this life-changing message. Be blessed. Well, hello, everyone. I am your host, Tiana Copeland, and I want to welcome you again to Holy Ghost Radio Show, a spirit-filled show with a prophetic mandate to reach the lost and impact God's people with biblical and revelation knowledge. On tonight's show, we are joined by a woman of God. She is a true seer in this end-time generation. She's very powerful. She has the spirit of Joseph and Daniel. Her ministry is called Shamar Ministries. So you guys, please stick around this entire show while she talked to us about dreams and understanding dreams. So we want to welcome Prophetess Sharonda Rowley out of Memphis, Tennessee. How are you, woman of God?
I'm blessed. How are you?
I am good. I am good. We are so excited for having you on the show today. Now, before we get into the topic, tell us about your ministry.
Oh, Father, actually, God had given me a previous ministry, and I guess you could say I jumped before time when I put a name to it, and it was called Watchmen on the Wall Ministries, where with that particular ministry, we trained intercessors. We were equipping the body of Christ, especially, or mainly women of God, that had been in tradition, that had been in religion, and things of that nature, and did not know how to pray effectively. God had given me such a burden for the women of God to pray fervently, to pray out of their spirit. Even women who had never received Christ, we dealt with that and things of that nature. And what happened was I put the ministry down for a season, actually to embrace another call. And as soon as the Lord began to deal with me again, the Lord told me, he said, this time I am going to give you the name of this ministry. It was Shamar. It was called Shamar. And what Shamar is, the word Shamar in Hebrew, it means to watch. Shamar prophets, our prophets who watch over the house. A lot of the times the Shamar prophet would be the house prophet, and then you also have the Shaphat, which is the prophet that releases judgment. And the Shamar prophet and the Shaphat prophet, they both work hand in hand. And so the reason why God had given me Shamar is because of watchmen on the wall, because God called me to be a watchman in this hour. And he's called a lot of other people to be watchmen in this hour. And within that ministry, God began to deal with me strongly with dreams and visions.
Wow, that's awesome. So tell us, when did you realize that you were a prophet, a seer? When in your life did you realize that that's what you were?
Well, I had been seeing almost all my life. My dreams were very intense always. They've always been intense. But because I did not know the Lord, just like what you and I and your mother were talking about, it was almost as if before I became to know the Lord, my members were yielded to another deity. And so therefore, I would have a lot of demonic dreams. There were times where I would fight in my sleep, and I did not understand why. And because I was in a very religious denomination at the time, I was told that the reason why I had so many bad dreams was because I was misbehaving, or I was having so many bad dreams, probably because I was thinking about something and went to sleep, or, you know, you just have to be careful what you watch, which is true, but they had the religious tack to it. And what eventually happened was the dreams got a little bit out of control. I started dreaming like crazy. And as I began to dream and dream and dream, I started to seek answers. And I said, wait a minute. Okay, either something's wrong with me psychologically or God is trying to tell me something. And I think what happened was I started to have reoccurring dreams of tornadoes. And they were always coming to me. And they kept coming up until the age of 21. And ever since I was, I'll say, about 5 or 6 years old to the age of 21, and even now, I would dream literally without skipping a beat at least 2 or 3 times a month of tornadoes, and I still do. And so with that, I never understood what that meant until at least a couple of years ago, but at the age of 21 was when I realized my office as a prophet or as a prophetess. That's when I realized the prophetic anointing, knew very much of anything about it. I was not taught. Once I realized who I was, the Lord took me to Scripture. He took me to Ezekiel chapter 2, and he also took me to Jeremiah 1 to confirm. Now, mind you, I had never read the Scriptures. I had never, in the religious church that I was in, we didn't read the book of the prophets like that, unless it was a very, very familiar verse. So when God told me to go to those books, I had no idea what I was turning to. The first scripture I remember going to was Jeremiah chapter 1, starting at, I believe, the 5th verse, going all the way down to the 10th verse. And I was excited because I said, I believe that, you know, when you're called to the office of a prophet, you can just prophesy all this good stuff. And God said, go to Ezekiel chapter 2. And when the Lord really began to minister to me, and when the Lord really began to talk to me and have me to say certain things, and there were things that I had to say I didn't want to say, there were things that I had to do that I did not want to do, things that were going against my own will, that's when I knew right then. I said, okay, I'm definitely called to this office, and that's when I began to reject the call. As long as I thought I was going to say something good and get the attention of people because of my immature way of thinking, I always felt like, okay, I can be this prophetess. But as soon as the true spirit of the Lord kicked in on me, and as soon as I really, you know, surrendered to God, and as soon as I said yes to the Lord, it was almost as if all hell just broke loose with this office, with this call. And it was just my beginnings, you know, the beginning pains, the birthing pains of me operating in that office. And now I thank God for it, because a lot of people are in their graves because what they don't pay attention to, because of them being in their own will. And I thank God for this office. And now I can honestly say, you know, being seasoned in this office, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. And there's something you said about the religious church. You guys didn't really get into the book of the prophet.
No.
So that's
no.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome.
No, because
so prophet, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, but the job of not even so much as religious people, but the job of the spirit of religion or the spirit of tradition, the Bible says that the traditions of men makes the word of the Lord of no effect. It makes it ineffective. And the job of tradition is to blind the people for what's really going on. And so, therefore, people are distracted by false doctrine. They're distracted by, you can do this, but you can't do that. You can say this, but you can't say that. You can go over here, but you can't go over there. And there's so many restrictions. And sometimes God is giving us instructions, and God is telling us some things. And all, wow, God. It's all leading to dreams and visions. This is so crazy how God has taken me. But it's almost like you can do this and do that, the do's and the don'ts, the pros and the cons of, you know, this particular ministry. We do this over here. We don't do what you did over there. But if God is telling you to do something, what do you do when God is telling you, I want you to jump up 3 feet in the air, when your leaders are telling you, you better not jump at all? What do you do when you're in tradition, you know, because they believe, well, we don't get that radical here because it doesn't take all that. When the next ministry is saying it takes all of that and then some, and you're not jumping high enough. If God told you to jump 3 feet, you need to jump 15. And no, if God say jump 3 feet, jump 3 feet, you know, just to use that as an example. And people are so bound. People are so lost, and they have no no clue. They don't even know what's really about to go on. So God is trying to snatch us out of this spirit and away from this spirit through our dreams and our visions. God is trying to get our attention.
Yes.
So much until the spirit of tradition has blinded us, not just other people out there, but all of us at one point somewhere in our life have been blinded because the enemy does not want you to see what God has for you, where he's taking you, what he wants you to do, because everything is going to always go back to Jesus. And his main goal is because he'll never have that position in heaven again and because he'll never inherit the kingdom of heaven, is to keep us from it. And so our job as Shamar prophets is to remove the veil from the eyes of the people so that they can see. God is putting people to sleep. Some people go to sleep and don't know why they're sleeping, and not even being tired, because God has a message for them. Some people, you'd be amazed at some of the people who I counsel just based off of their dreams, just based off of what they've seen in the vision. And the enemy is trying to blind them. People tell me dreams where the Lord was giving them a dream and the enemy would try to come in the dream because he so do not want us to go to heaven. It's our main goal.
And don't want us to hear what God is really saying.
No. No. We think it's homosexuality. We think it's lying. We think it's cheating. We think, you know, it's the things that we do in the fleshly body, but there is a spirit that calls us to do that. And we'll be so amazed that some of the root spirits are rejection and tradition. And tradition, I would say tradition more over rejection, because so many people have been hurt and have been rejected because of tradition. You know, if you're going to be up under my leadership, don't go to this church and don't go over there and don't receive this person and cut that friend off and cut this person off. And I've been in a church where we were so bound, prophetess, where the leader told us, if they leave this church, have nothing to do with them. If you have anything to do with them, I will deal with you severely.
Wow, that sounds so familiar.
We operated out of fear, you know, of dealing with people. And how we deal with people when they left. So God is trying to remove all of that.
And I think the reason why we deal with fear, because a lot, I can speak for myself, I wasn't really raised in church. So when I did get to a church where the gifts and the man of God was so powerful, until I was fearful. And then I had to come to realization I was more fearful of him than I was of God.
Yes.
And I think that goes on with a lot of us. We're so fearful of man instead of fearful of God, but that comes from not having a relationship with God as well.
That's right. Ooh, because you begin, you put yourself in a place where you have a relationship with that pastor, and that's exactly where we were. I was sitting up under one leadership where I didn't understand my dreams. Remember earlier what I was telling you when you asked me about my office as a prophetess? When I tell you, woman of God, I went to my first lady, and I told her, this was at that time when I was 21. I said, I'm having these dreams, and I'm dreaming this, and I'm dreaming that, and I'm dreaming that, and this, that, and the other. And I saw this, and I saw that. And this woman told me, why don't you go to God and tell him to stop giving you so many dreams?
Wow.
And so out of ignorance, and because I had a relationship with her and I didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I went to God and I said, shut up all my dreams. I'm dreaming too much. And for about 2 years, I would go to sleep and see nothing.
Wow.
I would see nothing. Wow. It wasn't even so much that God said, okay, I'm going to shut up your dreams. But because it's not even so much it was the fact that I went in prayer and did it. Because the Bible said that life and death lies in the power of your tongue, especially as a prophet. If you say something and you know you have the Spirit of the Lord on the inside of you, or if you have the anointing in you, and when you say anything, it you send words. Words form in your atmosphere.
Yeah.
And sometimes even as prophets, we got to be careful of what we say. We got to be careful of what we do, because as soon as we speak, and I know that sounds so familiar, we all know that, but when you speak things into the atmosphere and when you speak it out of your mouth, it forms. And the Bible said that there are angels, there are beings who take those words and they run with it if you go to the book of Habakkuk. And they
yes.
take it and they run with it and it comes to pass. So you constantly saying, well, ooh, this makes me so sick. And before you know it, you're sick and, oh, I'll never do this. And then next thing you know, when you do need to do it, you will never do it and you will be in disobedience because of what you said before. Or, you know, oh, I hate and not this and not that. And, oh, it looks like it's going to rain. And I'm trying to have this picnic or I'm trying to have this tent revival and it's going to rain. And next thing you know, it rains
mm-hmm.
because you'll be amazed at just some of the things that you say out of your mouth, and we talk about it, we hear it, and we know it. And it's somebody who's probably listening right now said, oh, we already know all that. Okay then, but when you're going to start talking against what it is that the enemy wants you to say? Because you have so much power, woman of God,
mm-hmm.
don't even mean to even put this out here. And I ain't trying to put people in my business, but when I tell you, I have not paid a utility bill in going on 2 months now.
Wow.
I don't
wow.
know where they are. They drive past my house every single day. And all because I said, God, you are my provider. You're going to
yeah.
provide. God, if this
yeah.
is your will, God, you told me to go into full-time ministry. You told me to preach this gospel. You told me to do this, that, and the other. Okay, your will, then it's your bill. So I tell woman of God.
That's heavy. That's
I'm
heavy.
Telling you, my lights are on. I would not be on this phone if it was not. My landlord took me in the car with her today, and when I gave the lady my rent, she said, here, Sharonda, mind you, I didn't pay rent last month because of some things that broke out, and I told them, I said, I know my laws and I know my rights. If this is not done and that not done, and she I kept my rent money. She said two words to me about it. This month, I gave her my rent. I gave her every bit of the rent. She told me, she said, take some of this back. And I said, I don't want that because you need that rent money to take care of this, that, and the other. Because God said he shall supply all of my needs according to
yeah.
not my riches and glory, but to his riches and
his
glory.
Riches
and if I say, as a prophetess of God, if I say it shall rain, it's got to rain. If I say the rain's got to stop, the flood's got to stop. If I tell a tornado to go back, it's got to go back. The thunderclouds can't form. If I said it, that settles it. Why? Not because of me. Not because, oh, mm-hmm. that's Sharonda Mason, and, oh, she's got R.W. Shambach's anointing, and she's got Smith Wiggles. No, because the spirit of Jesus Christ lives on the inside of me. So it's not so much that it's me that's saying it, but Jesus Christ on the inside of me is saying it. So if Jesus is speaking through me and say, hey, this is what it's going to be, it has no choice but to be.
Wow.
And so with that being said, we have to be careful of what we say. Sometimes the reason why we dream some of the things that we dream because of what
mm-hmm.
we say. People are dead because of what we say. People are pregnant because of what was said. People have businesses because of what was said out of their mouth. If you will never open your mouth about anything, nothing will never happen. But if
wow.
you will open your mouth, things will happen. It just depends on what you shut your mouth on and what you open your mouth to.
Wow. That's awesome. Now, let's get more in depth with these dreams because I know dreams can be symbolic. Some dreams
yes.
are prophetic. How
mm-hmm.
do we as people get to the place where we can really interpret what God is showing us in our dreams?
Repeat the question one more time.
I was saying, as far as dreams is concerned, you know, a lot of times they're symbolic. Like you
mm-hmm.
might, for instance, you might dream of a cult, but it means you're reading a book. I'm just using that as an example. And
right.
they are prophetic. Now, for me, I know the way I dream, a lot of times it's just the way I'm dreaming it. But how do the people get to the point to really know how to interpret what God is saying in their dream?
Well, first, the only way that one person or the dreamer would be able to interpret their own dreams, everything goes back to the word. You have
mm-hmm.
to know your word. You have to know your Bible. Because
mm-hmm.
one thing about it, if God is speaking to you in your dream, one thing that I have learned about the Lord and in my
mm-hmm.
walk with the Lord and my relationship is he
mm-hmm.
never goes against his word.
That's right.
God never, ever, ever says anything outside of his word. He'll never say anything against his word. So that means if you're wide awake and you're having a vision and your dead uncle comes to you while you're cooking in your kitchen and he tells you X, Y, and Z, that is not your uncle. That's not God. And God will not do that. I don't care how accurate it sounds. I don't care. Well, my uncle told me to run, and I ran, and there was a snake somewhere, and I was really running from a snake for real, and I don't care because it is all tactics of the enemy. So it really depends on the dreamer. It also depends on how much word is in them. Sometimes the more that the word lies within a person, the more that the person feeds themselves of the word, the more prophetic the dream is. Sometimes the more exact the dream is. Sometimes people dream in symbols, and because they're having dark sayings and dark speeches in the dream. And basically all a dark saying is, it's parables. So when people have dark sayings in dreams, or if they're saying, well, I had a dream of three snakes, that's a dark saying. That's like a dark speech within the dream. So basically what God is showing you, he's giving you a parable. So why are you seeing three snakes? Does that mean I'm going to walk outside my house and see three snakes? For some people, it is. And if that's how that person dreams, and every person who is a dreamer, they know what type of dreamer they are. They know. It doesn't take a mad scientist to figure it out. Now, I dream in parables. But there, very seldomly, the Lord will come to me in my dream, and my dream will be exactly what it is. But for the most part, it is in parables, because that is God's way of getting your attention. He troubles you like that. Even when King Nebuchadnezzar began to dream about the tree that was going up into heaven, and had all these fruits and these leaves, and everything was flourishing, the cattle was doing great, and all things were just looking all hunky-dory. And as soon as the angel of the Lord came and began to speak against this tree, and everything withered and died, and the cattle was just getting all to be in a mess, he still had to turn to Daniel. He went to the Chaldeans. He went to the magicians. He went to everybody else. They didn't hold the answer, because whatever deity that they served was not the one who gave him the dream. So if my son come back and tell me, Mom, you know, Apostle said to tell you this, I'm not going to go to prophetess. I have to go back directly to the apostle and find out what it is that the apostle said. So he couldn't go back to the Chaldeans and to the magicians to find out what Satan was saying, because Satan didn't give him the dream, but the Lord did. So he had to go and seek out God's prophet, which was Daniel. And Daniel had to let him know that the kingdom is about to be snatched from you. Everything is about to die. Everything, you are about to be in Lodabar. You are about to live at the bottom because of your rebellion. You're not going to literally wake up, King Nebuchadnezzar, and see that your tree is actually dying.
Yeah.
Especially when you don't have any trees and things like that. You're in Egypt. You know, trees, it's not probably a whole lot of trees out there, at least in that timing. So what did that represent for him? And so even now, God is really, really, really pushing. It's almost, to me, in the realm of the spirit, it looks like God is shoving dreams within the dreamer, in their spirit, because something is about to happen. And one thing that God said in his word, that he wished that no one would perish. And if we keep ignoring our dreams, we're going to perish.
Yes, yes. That's so powerful. That's so powerful. Now, it's one book, and I think I was talking to Apostle about it, that kind of helped me, and I need to go back and read it, called The Seer by James Gall. That's a really good book. I mean, he really get in details of the different types of visions you have and the different, you know, as far as dreams is concerned. Now, that's a really good book.
Yes, it is. Now, I read, I think, maybe two or three chapters. The crazy thing with me is God has never really allowed me to get deep into the dreams, the dream books. But from what I did read out of that book was very, very on point. And like I said, for some reason, God would not allow me to finish it. And one thing that I would like to address that James Gall did say, I want to say on the first page, actually in the first chapter, when he said that all prophets are seers, but not all, all seers are prophets, but not all prophets are seers. and things like that. And a lot of people are walking around and they're calling themselves prophets, and they have no stripes. They don't have no testimony of them being a prophet. The office that they're walking in is not that of a prophet, all because somebody saw something one time. Mm-hmm. And now they're a seer, and I see it all over people's Facebook pages, seer this and prophetic minstrel this and prophetic psalmist this and the master prophet builder that. And I'm just like, well, what? Okay, you're a prophet, but all I see on your page, and I hate to say it this way, but our world is now on Facebook. All I see in your status is how messy you are. Somebody, please IM me because I'm bored. You need to be on your face, or you need to see what the Lord is saying, because if I see your title as to be a seer, prophet, master builder, you need to have a word from the Lord. What is God saying? People really want to know what God is saying. People are running to some of these false prophets out here, and they run into some of these witches and soothsayers and warlocks out here and wizards and sorcerers, but they're not getting the word of the Lord. They don't know. So God is He's sending warning. And I just, Lord, help me, because I think I'm jumping the gun here. I really
Go ahead.
Even now, just the anointing that's sitting on the line, people who are flooding with dreams. I don't care if it's only three people on this line. Somebody call because they got a million and one dreams and say, look, I don't know what's going on, but I know I need to be in on this line because I'm dreaming and I have not gotten the answer yet. Somebody gave me a false interpretation. There was one guy, oh, my Lord, I got to give this example. There was one guy who came to me and my fiance and said, look, I've dreamt that there were exactly 12 stars. There were 12 stars in the sky and they fell. He said, what does that mean? I can't go into the whole detail of that dream because it was dealing with a particular denomination. And he told me, he said, all these people, they were screaming, and it was like, oh, my God, what happened? First of all, you know you can't take that dream literal, because if there are 12 stars in the sky that fall to the earth is in trouble.
Ooh,
not the world. The world is dealing with the system, but the earth is the actual planet that we live in. The name of this planet is Earth. It's not called world. So now in his dream, we're dealing with a worldly system, but it's dealing with religion. So when he saw the 12 stars that fell out of the sky, basically what he saw 12 people who hold high positions. Well, how do you know, prophet, that it is a high position? It wasn't a cloud. It wasn't a bird. It was a star. It was a ball of gas. People who claim to have the anointing. The, you know, stars are made up of gaseous fires and all of that stuff. Ain't no sciences. I don't know what all is made of. But I do know that stars, it doesn't look like a little twinkle, but if you're actually in outer space and you see balls of fire, fire represents anointing. Either you're going to have a real fire or you're going to have a strange fire. Why did those stars fall out of the sky? Because God was trying to show this person that the leadership that you are under, who had these 12 apostles or 12 bishops or 12 elders, three of them falling out of the sky, 12 of them, however many fell out of the sky, is because they are corrupt and God's going to bring them down. He's about to take them out of that high place. So now you're about to see some people being humble, people who walk in pride, people who walk out of the spirit of haughtiness with their nose stuck up in the air because they know one or two or three little things. Now they got it all together, and now they're going to condemn other people because of what they don't know instead of teaching them. So now you got the people in the the people in the church who are getting fed off of the word, and they're fattening themselves up, but they're not feeding the people. So now the people are dying of starvation in the realm of the spirit, which is another reason why people are having dreams.
Wow.
God is tired of his people starving. God is tired of his people living in lack. Some people may be on this line. God is giving them a business idea in their dream, saying, look, you in poverty, but you know how to bake. You and you may, well, I don't know why I just kept dreaming about cupcakes. Lord Jesus, I know that dream didn't mean anything, but you know you can make the mess out of a cupcake. God may be, I mean, as simple as it sounds, you never know. Some people start. A lot of the dreams, a lot of the things that we deal with right now started with a dream. There's a cupcake, if I'm not mistaken, and I hope y'all may have to Google this just to make sure I'm correct. If I'm not mistaken, Gigi's Cupcakes got some of the best cupcakes in the world, all started with a dream.
Wow.
If it didn't start with a dream, it started with a vision. That's a vision.
Mm-hmm.
Before you do anything, you have to first see it.
That's right. That's right. God will drop it in your spirit, and to you it's like it's just an idea.
Right.
But to God it's like, no, you go for it, because just one simple idea can make you the richest, can make you rich.
The richest person in the world. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Wow. Look at, I can't think of her name right now, Madam C.J. Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Who invented the
straight
comb. All because, okay, this is me combing my baby's hair. This is painful. Just to give a little history, it started with a vision. She had to see it first. And now you got flat irons, and you have Marcel irons, and now you have people who are in hair shows. You have the Brunner Brothers hair shows that go to Atlanta, all because of a vision, because of what somebody saw. And you complaining about your situation, but you thinking, I wish I lived in a house. If I could have a house, my house would look like this. Pursue it. Give it. But you got to be in obedience.
Yeah.
And you have to live holy. And you have to live according to how the Lord has told you to live. Now, anything outside of that, God reigns on the just as well as the unjust. The problem is when he reigns on the unjust, it won't last.
Yes,
because they don't have any wisdom to pertain to what they got. So you can get a little drops, but we're trying to get an overflow, and we're trying to abound in the overflow, and we're trying to live in the floodgates. So now you can get dropped on if you like, but the only way that we're going to get anything with Christ and for it to last is if we abide in him and we allow him to abide in us. It still goes back to the Lord. It still goes back to Jesus Christ. Everything does, even our dreams and our visions.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's a lot of the problem because that's where a lot of witchcraft in the church come in at, because a lot of times they don't turn the people back to Jesus.
Yes. Yep.
When it comes to dreams and visions.
That's exactly what it is. When it comes to dreams and visions, they give the wrong interpretation. Sometimes people are in blind witchcraft. They don't understand. People operate, it doesn't make them a witch or a warlock, but sometimes people are in witchcraft because of what they don't know and because they're mixing in sorcery. You know, I've heard women say, honey, I just love the Lord and thank you, Jesus. And you know, we had the threshing floor and this woman, Lord, bless her soul. God, just bless her spirit right now, wherever she may be. Bless her, Lord. But this woman, we on our threshing floor, we wore white socks, and she wanted to help so bad, and she just had to help, just had the gift of helps, and just I just got to put my hands wherever they're, you know, wherever I could find them, and she took our socks, and the Lord told me, when you get those socks, throw them in the garbage. Now, this woman is the sweetest woman I have ever met. I mean, the nicest person. You just, honey, if you didn't have any godly wisdom, you just take your children and just put them in her hands, because she's so sweet and she's so motherly and just so sweet. But the Lord showed me in a dream she was taking salt and she was mixing them in our socks.
Wow.
And I took the socks. I said, I'm sorry. I love you. But as a prophet, you out of order. You will not mix salt in our socks. And I have to throw the socks in the garbage. And for a long time, me and this woman, we did not see eye to eye. But some things happened to her where she had to submit, and she had to come to us. And we didn't belittle her. We didn't say, hey, you're this or you're a witch. She didn't know. She was doing only what she was taught by a witch.
Wow.
And that person, a witch is not going to come out and say, hey, I'm a witch. You know, they got to have some kind of disguise, so they have to be discreet some kind of way. So somebody taught her this witchcraft, and before we know it, she was performing it on other people, hanging up things in front of their doors, and you know, and I'm going to wash my walls with ammonia, and I'm going to mix it with a little olive oil and things like that. And some people do it out of ignorance because they feel like ammonia drives the devil out. No, prayer, fervent prayer, seeking the Lord, having a relationship with Jesus Christ drives the devil out of your house.
Wow. Now I have a question. When my son was about 3 years old, he went and spent the night over someone's house.
Okay.
And when he came back, he had a spirit on him. So I called the person that I was up under at that time, and they told me, well, put him on some white socks and put pins in it. Is that witchcraft?
Yes, very much so. It is witchcraft because, I mean, now, unless the Lord just strictly said so, unless God simply said, do this and do it for this reason, do that, do this, do that, do this. Those are a lot of things that Jesus did, you know, spitting in the ground and making mud and putting it over man's eyes so he can see. I'm sure people thought that was witchcraft too, and people thought, okay, you know, I mean, because even the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, they even went to Jesus and they tried to say that he was casting out devils with the help of devils, and he had to let him know that Beelzebub can't cast out Beelzebub. That's one thing. So if for sure that you know in your spirit that God told this woman to do that, then yes, then, you know, then that may have been God. But if you have to come back and ask and say, hey, is this witchcraft to do such and such, such and such? 9 times out of 10 it is. Because sometimes people, like I say, they do only what they've been taught by somebody else. If the person did not, it goes back to Jesus Christ. If they do not direct you to the word, if they do not direct you into prayer and pray and cover him under the blood, if they cannot tell you this is what the word said, your words have power. When my son is sick, let me tell you something. Anthony went in the hospital, and people tried to give me all this crazy advice on what I needed to do for him and give me all these old wives' fables and things like that. And basically that's what it's called, old wives' fables, and that's what somebody gave you. So when he got sick, people told me, hang a sock over his head and do this. No,
wow.
I'm a prophetess.
Yes.
The words in my mouth, the spirit of the Lord that lives on the inside of me. This is where I live. God, either you're going to do it, because if you don't do it, God, it's just not going to get done. And I spoke, and my fiance spoke, and we said, by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus Christ, you're going to be healed, you're going to eat this food, you're going to hold it down, and within 2 to 3 days, we're going to be out of this hospital. We was out in 2 days.
Wow, that's awesome.
And we, because it was the word. It was the level of the word that's in you. It's your relationship, your level. Where is your relationship at with the Lord? And not even that. Some people have a fine relationship with the Lord, but their faith is not there. Where is your faith there with God? I believe God. I love God. I pray all day. But I don't feel like I'm anointed enough to speak the word. Then you won't be anointed enough to speak the word. So you will turn to, you know, putting things up and hanging this and wiping walls with that and sprinkling this and throwing that.
Wow. Wow. That's awesome. That is awesome. So it's safe to say, now, okay, I want to get into this because, me and you have talked briefly about dead people. And I told you growing up how scared I was because I always was seeing. And I know the Bible talks about mediums, which is calling up the dead.
Yes.
I want you to tell the people, because I know someone said, well, oh, your dad came to me and told me to do this and this and this for you. But this is a prophet. And you telling this to
no.
me.
No.
What are you
no.
doing talking to the dead?
That's right. Well, once you begin to start talking or communicating with the dead, you have now entered, you have went past the prophetic level. You went past the prophetic anointing, at least from God, because prophetic anointings can go both ways. Witches are truly just nothing but prophets. Necromancers are, are prophets. And what they do is they yield their members to the wrong source. And so now it becomes contaminated, because one thing about God is not an Indian giver. He's not going to give you something to snatch it away. So if God is giving you the gift of prophecy and you can prophesy and God has anointed you in words of wisdom and knowledge and things like that, but if you still do decide not to serve the Lord, then the enemy will, and he will pervert that, and the enemy will come in and he will twist it, manipulate it any which way he plans to, because members have been yielded to them. And so what happened is, when people begin to see dead people and they begin to communicate on faces with them, what happens is they become necromancers, or they involve themselves in necromancy, people who communicate with the dead. That's a very dangerous thing because sometimes you can communicate with the dead so much, and I've seen this happen. You can communicate with the dead so much and so many times until where mm-hmm. you'll get taken smooth out of here. And
wow.
I know a woman like that. She's gone on to be with the Lord. And I mm-hmm. really thank God for the opportunity of him introducing me to her in her last days on this earth. I was sitting with her because at that time they could not afford a nurse to come in to sit with
mm-hmm.
her. So the Lord allowed me to sit with this woman of God. And mm-hmm. and she, mm-hmm. at the time, actually she wasn't saved
mm-hmm.
or anything like that. But there were dead people that were always coming to her in a dream, and she would tell me about her dreams. And even at that point, my interpretation of dreams was not very strong, but I knew main things. I knew what
mm-hmm.
I was looking at. I knew what I saw. And with all of that, she would say, oh, this person came to me. I said, well, mother, who was that? Oh, honey, they died years ago. You would know them. And I'm like, oh, okay. And honey, they came to me and they told me this and they told me that. And the more she would tell me, the sicker she got. And before
wow.
I knew it, this woman, she was getting very ill to where usually when I would help her to the bathroom, she could help me help her. It got to the point where she was just dead weight. But she was still alive, but her body was just dead
mm-hmm.
weight. And we had
wow.
a nurse who finally came over in her very last days who helped me
mm-hmm.
to give her a bath and put her in her bed and things like that. And she took a nap, and I sat with her. And when she
mm-hmm.
woke up, she said, I want you to pray with me. I want to make sure I'm saved before I die. And I don't want to die in a hospital. I want to die in a house. She was a very
wow.
old woman, so she knew she was leaving. And I told her, I said, well, okay, but you may need to go to the hospital so you can get better. And she said, well, no, I know I'm going to die. She said, I just had a dream that I was in a swimming pool and you were there. The enemy
wow.
is so slick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Even in then, he was trying to get me to say some things out of my mouth because I was dealing with ailments in my body, no serious ailments,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes you can have a flu, and then next thing you know, you feel like you're going to die. Well,
mm-hmm.
like I say, words have power.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
she began to tell me about her swimming in the swimming pool. She said, I
mm-hmm.
dived in the swimming pool. She said, and I swam midways into the swimming pool, and I turned around, and I looked at you.
Mm-hmm.
And my family was all around us. But when I saw you, I said, come on, Sharonda, jump in the swimming pool with me. And she said that I told her my time, it's not my time. Yeah, she said it's not my time for
mm-hmm.
me to get in the swimming pool. You go ahead. And
mm.
she came all the way to the other side, and she woke up. And when she told me that dream, and her daughters came and said, what in the world is mother talking about? I said, well, she just told me about a dream. And she said, well, what was the dream meaning? I said, well, I don't want to tell you unless you're ready for what I'm about to tell you. And when they insisted that they were, the Lord told me to let them know, well, your mother is about to pass. She's about to
wow.
leave here. She's going to transition. And she's going to transition within a week.
And
before we knew it, she took sick maybe 3 days later. She got worse. She went to the
mm-hmm.
hospital. Because they did not want her to die in the house. They wanted her to be in the hospital, you know, and things like that. So she went
mm-hmm.
into the hospital. I followed her to the hospital in this order, woman of God. I followed her to the hospital and everything, spoke with her. I said, look, I have to go and be with my children. I'm going to tuck
mm-hmm.
them away in bed when I'm sitting with a babysitter, and I'm coming right back. She said, okay. And I left, and I did just that. But I couldn't come back to the hospital. And I said,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to call up there. I called mother, and I said, I'm going to get ready to see you in the morning, okay? She said,
mm-hmm.
okay, take your time. And you tell those Highland babies we were laughing, whatever. I go home, get in the bed, go to sleep, have a dream of this woman coming to
mm-hmm.
me. And she said, Sharonda, I want to thank you for introducing me to Christ. Because
wow.
had you not introduced me to Christ, I would be in hell right now. And I said, what are you talking about? And she had on all white, and she was standing up, and she was walking. And I looked, I said, what is going on with you? Why are you walking? You're not supposed to be walking. You're supposed to be resting. She said, I've received that. I'm about to rest for real now. And I said, well, okay.
Wow.
And I'm just thinking, like, oh, she's going to go home. So I went to the nurse station, and there was nothing but people dressed in all white gowns. They looked just like angels, but they were nurses. And I asked them, if somebody's going to have questions about that, I'm going to address nurses, doctors, lawyers, things like that in a dream. And I began to ask the nurse, I said, hey, you know that Mother such and such is doing this, that, and the other, and she's walking around. They said, oh, no, she's dead. I said, no, she's not. Yes, she is. I said, but I just got through talking to her. And now in the dream, my children appeared in the dream, and she was, you know, playing with my kids. She embraced my children, picked my children up, put them down, and put them out of the room. And so now I'm like, well, what in the world is this? She put my children out the room for what? Okay. Do you not know that she sat up here and told me? She said, well, how about you go ahead and you do what you need to do and you this and you that. She just gave me all kinds of instructions. I said, okay, praise the Lord. And I woke up. As soon as I woke up, I called one of my friends and I told them to come into my room. I said, girl, I just had a dream of Mother. She said, before you tell me the dream, you need to take this phone call. She came in the room with the phone in her hand. I said, what's the phone for? Who is it? I don't talk to people this early in the morning. I'm just trying to tell you my dream, and you're giving me a phone. She said, you need to take this phone call because it's about Mother. And as soon as I got on the phone, her daughter was on the phone having a fit and said, Mother just died. I said, she just came to me in a dream. In certain instances like that, God will allow that. And the Lord allowed that to happen to me because I needed peace in my spirit because I developed a relationship with this woman. I needed peace in my spirit to know that, okay, she's about to transition. Now, after that, that woman didn't come back to me no more.
Wow.
The dead knows nothing. The dead sees anything. It can't feel anything. It's not here. It's not here in the earth realm with us anymore. So dead people have no business coming to you in your sleep, giving you instructions. People have called me and said, I had a dream that my dead uncle came to me and said, if you go back there in the backyard, there's going to be a treasure back there. I left a lot of money, and I want you to go and dig this up and dig that up. And I said, okay. They said, well, should I do it? I said, no. And she said, but what if it is? I said, I tell you what. I said, go back there and dig it up. And as soon as she did, she found nothing. She found nothing. And even after that, I had to pray. And I had to release an anointing over the house because of what the Lord instructed me to do and to cover her house in the blood of Jesus because of what she opened her house up to because she was following something that a spirit came and told her. So basically, to put everything in a nutshell, you, when you're entertaining dead people, you're entertaining familiar spirits. The root word to familiar is family. So, of course, you may see dead people who were once in your family come to you in your sleep. Of course, you may see people who are friends. Family doesn't always mean relatives. It doesn't always mean that somebody who's related to you. Family, people who are close to you, people who are related to you, people who you are in close covenant with, they'll come to you and they'll say things. Sometimes even in the earth realm, even when you're not sleeping, when you're wide awake and you're not even in a vision, familiar spirits will come with the spirit of sabotage, to sabotage you of your destiny, to sabotage you of your peace, to sabotage you of your joy, to sap you of your strength, to basically end your assignment that you have on the earth. It may seem right in the beginning, but I promise you, if you keep heeding to a familiar spirit, you're going to be in an unfamiliar place.
Now, prophets, I have a caller, but before I take this call, I have someone on the chat line want me to tell you about this dream. And she says, in the past 2 days, I've been having a dream about an infant girl. Today, the dream was a newborn baby girl wrapped in a receiving blanket, and I was just carrying her and patting her on the back, like across the shoulder. Then she goes on to say, then someone told me congratulations, but this was a newborn baby girl, and I have dreamt about that girl for 2 days.
Okay, it all really depends on the dreamer. All dreams want to always depend on the dreamer. Mm-hmm. Now, the dreams with the babies can sometimes be the most difficult because I have a friend right now who has dreams of babies, and this girl has 5 children. And every time she dreamt of a baby, God was showing her a real baby. Now, mm-hmm. I also have a friend who dream of babies all the time. And a lot of times when you dream of a female child, when you're dreaming of a girl, especially if it is a pink receiving blanket, a lot of times that's dealing with women's ministry. A ministry dealing wow. with women, dealing with teenage girls. Mm-hmm. It also, sometimes it doesn't deal with, you know, just dealing with women ministries or dealing with teenage girls or anything like that. Sometimes it's the birth of a ministry. So basically there's a ministry that she could possibly have been trying to start that God has given her, and people are going to begin to notice the dream because she was being congratulated in the dream pertaining to the baby. She could be expecting. But it really just depends on the lifestyle of the dreamer.
Yeah, she said that the receiving blanket was blue and white.
It was blue and white. Wow. Those are priestly garments. Okay, so basically what, oh, my God.
And this girl, so this woman is a prophetess now.
I was about to ask you if she could message you back to say what color was the receiving blanket. It never makes sense, and that dream was a dark saying, meaning that was a parable, meaning she's not going to have a baby. So now that I know the color of the receiving blanket, the blue and white represents the priestly garments. It represents, you know, the especially when you're going back to the tabernacle, when you talk about the structure of the tabernacle, when you talk about the garments of the priest and each garment representing something different, this woman is a prophetess. This woman has a very strong prophetic anointing, and God is birthing a prophetic anointing out of her, probably also dealing in the realm of dreams and visions. Probably dealing with the prophetic, dealing with prophesying. I'm not sure exactly what area God is going to take her in the prophetic, because the prophetic is such a vast, such a large area of ministry. But God has definitely called this woman to be a prophet of God, and she is in her very beginning stages of it. Something that she's been fighting with, something that God has been giving her in her spirit that she has wrestled with. Well, I don't know if this is this, and God, I don't know. God, did you really call me to be a prophetess? For some reason, is what I'm getting from this woman of God who's typing this message. Yes, woman of God, God did call you to be a prophetess, and this is the very beginning stages of you being a prophetess, and you patting the baby on the back, and also lets me know the type of spirit that you possess. You're a nurturer by spirit. You care very deeply for women, and especially for young girls. And I guess that's why I was saying young girls, because if you have a baby girl, you're going to wrap your baby girl in a pink blanket or something, soft colors and things like that, not something that you will wrap a boy blanket in. So not only is she a prophet, but she's a very strong prophet, because blue represents not just so much as royalty, but it represents authority. This is a woman that God is trying to give great authority to. This is a woman who has power in what she says. If she speak it, it shall come to pass. Whatever situation you're in, woman of God, whatever you're facing, all you have to do is open your mouth and decree a word, and it'll happen. Because that's basically what God is showing you in your dream. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you've been facing. I don't know who you've been around. But you have the anointing to shift things, and you can make things be accommodated to you. You can make things to your liking, to your pleasure. The anointing that you have on your life is like cooking in the kitchen. If you want your potatoes to be bland, don't season it. If you want a lot of salt, you're going to put heavy salt. However you want your food to taste, it's in your hands. It's all in your hands. It's in your spirit. It's in your mouth how you want your situations to turn out. And God has given you the anointing. God has given you keys. And I'm seeing keys in the realm of the spirit for this woman of God. He's given you keys in the realm of the spirit. He's given you keys to access his kingdom. And all you have to do is open your mouth.
Yes. Wow, that's awesome. Well, I'm going to take this call because this person been on for a while and looks like they have a comment or a question, so I'm going to take this call.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, caller. You're on the line.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. This is Apostle Cheryl Baker. I'm a little hoarse today, a little laryngitis, but...
How you doing, Apostle Baker?
I'm doing pretty good. Losing my voice a little bit, but after that, I am absolutely fine.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I have a question or two or three for Prophet.
That's fine.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I have been dreaming about a house for about the past 3-4 years. And
okay.
I'm always going back to the house. Now, this house is the house that let me see how I can put it. My teen years were spent there, and I was only in this house for a few years. My mother died, and my brother and I, you know, we went through some changes, and somebody, like, took the house from us. But anyway, in the dream, I am always going back to the house, but I'm always going only to the mailbox. I never enter into the house. And I go to the mailbox, and I'm pulling out many envelopes, and these envelopes are like legal size and letter size paper, like the manila envelopes and like the white envelopes with the green on the side. And it's a lot of, but it's in reference to my mother. It appears to be in the dream. And then it looks like to the right of me, there is another mailbox, and I'm like, where did you come from? But it seems to be hidden by bushes somewhat, like a brush or something. So I go into that mailbox, too, and I pull out letters, and there's many letters in this mailbox, too. In these dreams, I have never opened up the envelopes. I'm always just going to the house, never entering the house, always getting letters, and it's a lot. Until recently, this month, I have dreamed about that house about 3 times back-to-back. I have entered the house on these occasions. One occasion, I went into my mother's bedroom. First, I walked through the house, and it seems I came outside of the house, and I met my brother in the yard. He was telling me that my cousin had gotten my car and pulled it to his house to repair it. And my car was a Nova, and it was like the first car that I bought, but it had a new red paint job on it, and apparently had broken down on a street in the neighborhood. In the dream, I didn't appear to be too concerned about it breaking down because it was in a familiar area. But I remember my brother saying that it needed a catalytic converter. And I said to him, well, I don't have any money on me. We will have to go to the auto parts place, and I will have to use my card. In the dream, I did not want to put money in my brother's hand, neither did I want to put it in my cousin's hand, because it seemed like it kind of took me back a little bit, because my car, I bought that car like in the 70s, but this was like present time. But I didn't want to put money in their hands because back then they were on drugs. So I didn't want to do that. So I saw myself going back into the house, and I went to my mother's bedroom. And as I looked around in her bedroom and looked at the closet in the bathroom, I was like, wow, it's the way it was, you know, just as I remember it to be. And I see even the walls are painted blue, light blue. But it seemed like there were some people there working in her bedroom, and I'm not sure. I think they were pulling up carpet, or maybe a couple of people pulling up carpet or laying down carpet. I'm not sure which one it was. And the others, it seemed like they were painting the walls. Now, I'm taking it that the walls were blue all the time, but it looked like they were painting it kind of beige color or tan color. So I'm not sure if the walls were tan and they were painting it blue, but I do remember saying, wow, they're blue, just like I remember it. Now, that is like maybe the second time I've gone into the house. This dream occurred this month. If I can give you this last dream that I had this week. As well, my brother and I were standing outside of the house, and we were in front of the doors before we come into the house. There was an elderly man that was standing with us. Excuse me. He looked like he could have been the father who played, who the man who played the role of Bill Cosby's father on the Huxtables, on the Cosby Show.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So I was like, I wasn't sure why he was there. I didn't know if he was an inspector or what. I just didn't know why he was there. I'm taking that maybe
at the same house?
Yes, at the same house. Okay. I'm taking maybe that the house may be empty at this time. I'm not sure. But in the dream, it just felt like, I don't know, I just felt like he was an inspector or something or whatever of the house. But I looked at him, you know, and before I said this, I said, I'm going to pray and ask God to give me the money to buy this house. And then I turned to him, and I said, you know what? I've been dreaming about this house for years, and I'm always only going to the mailbox. And it was like he cut me off and said, you know what? I have a mailbox too, but when I went inside, it said they killed her. So as he's saying this, I'm looking out in the yard and along the driveway coming up to the house. There was a mailbox there. I did not go to it, but the mailbox was on a short white pole, and it only came up to maybe waist high. The other mailboxes were like any other mailbox. I got to reach up into it and pull all the mail out of it. And it was a long, like a deep mailbox. It's been throwing me because I keep dreaming about the house. I never go inside. I'm always picking up letters, never opening the letters, except for one time I did open an envelope, and I said, I hope this got something to do with money, you know, but I never did see what the contents was.
Then, okay, here's the thing with dreams. When I tell you this, it's going to sound very
hard. I'm a dreamer.
It's going to sound hard, hard thing to do that is.
Can I say this? I am a dreamer. I can help people to interpret their dreams quite a bit, but lately I have been getting so stumped on
my
own.
You sound like me. Don't feel bad.
And I'm like, okay, God, I'm feeling a little deficient in this area now. You know, so.
Yeah, that happens. And you believe it or not, I can interpret. Sometimes the Lord will just give me what to say with some of everybody else's dream, but as soon as God gives me my dream, I'm like, Lord, now, you know I need a little help with this, okay?
Exactly.
But the one thing that I have learned about dreams is they're always, not always, but more than likely when you're dreaming, God is dealing with you alone.
Mm-hmm.
He's dealing with you as a woman or as a man or as a person, you know, for anybody that's a dreamer. They're always going to be about you. That's why prophets who has the anointing to interpret a dream, that's why they can tell when dreams have been twisted, meaning I've had people, because they wanted a prophetic word and they wanted a word to be so nice and so anointed and talk about their greatness, to where they have added details and have lied about their dreams. But because the way they tell it and because of their lack of understanding in a dream and God giving us the anointing to interpret it, we'll say that doesn't work. That doesn't sound right. So apparently something's wrong or something is missing and you're not giving it all and things like that. However, in your dream, it's nothing like that at all, nothing like that. I can understand where you're puzzled because it sounds like a puzzling dream, but the things that stand out to me in your dream is the house, number one, the mailbox, number two, not even so much the mailbox, but the contents of the mailbox and how deep you had to go in to reach the mailbox. Mailboxes always represent prophetic words. It represents messages. It was very important, and the only reason why I'm not getting much is because it's very important when you dream that you pursue, that you get that. And I know you're going to be like, well, what in the world? How in the world? It's a dream. I don't control my dreams. As an apostle, if I'm not mistaken, I heard you state yourself as an apostle. Yes, you can. All you have to do is go into prayer and say, God, reveal to me. And you know this. You know, God, reveal to me what is it that I'm dreaming.
God to reveal this thing. Now, I am getting a little bit more concerning the house.
Yes.
And
yes.
What the house means.
Which is why when you opened up the letter, you saw, you said you didn't open up any of the letters, but now you get a letter, now you're opening, so all we got something to do with the money, you know, and you open it, but you didn't reveal it. When tonight you may go to sleep and you may have a dream that you opened up all the letters and God is showing you what's going on. But before I can go any further in this particular dream, if you don't mind me asking, did you dream about this house before your mother's death?
No, this is after my mom died back in 79. And just within the last about 4 years, I have been dreaming about this house, and I have never, ever gone inside of the house. It's always been me stopping at the yard, the carport, where the mailbox was on the post there. On the left side, then I would cross over the carport to the right behind the bush and pick up the mail out of this other envelope. Each time I go to the house and get the mail at the mailbox that I know that is there, I am always surprised in the dream that there is a second mailbox in the dream. I think maybe one time I kind of remembered that this mailbox was over here. Now it's puzzling now because I'm telling this man, whom I don't know what his presence represents, about me dreaming about the house. I'm telling him about me dreaming in the mailboxes, and he tells me about a mailbox, but this mailbox is cut shorter. So that threw me off.
Right, I can understand that. The man in the dream, believe it or not, represented the Lord, because you said, I don't know if he was an inspector or something like that, but the fact that you those words came out of your mouth when you were describing him represented his important role in the dream. That represented the spirit of the Lord. The messages, those letters, and I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to release that message to you, because those letters are going to be important to you. I'm going to tell you, and let me tell you the reason why I'm telling you this way. I'll give you one quick example. My fiance had a dream, and Prophetess Tiana, she can tell you, he had a dream, and it was very prophetic. And he said these beings, they was in the sky and it was forming and things like that. I'm just putting in a nutshell. And they fell flat to the ground. And he said as soon as they all hit the ground, the earth shook and things like that. And next thing you know, he said they were swimming around and we were all laying prostrate on our faces. And these beings began to speak. These were very much not human. They were very much so angels. But the way they looked was so weird. He said it looked like huge mannequin heads, probably about the size of a 32-inch television or flat screen or something like that. And there was lots of them, and they were all in formation. And there was one that was in the front of that formation. And then he would say, that one that was in the front would say, in the year 2013. And then the rest behind them would say, in the year 2013. He said they would say, there will be. And he said, but I just forgot. And I'm like, no. And I'm like, you have got to. I said, no. I said, we have got to go deeper in the spirit, you know, not saying that he wasn't, because he very much so was. I've dreamt like that. And I said, no. I said, think about it. Go do this and do that and do this and do that. I said, there had to have been something. He said, yeah, there was a television. I said, okay, great. I said, was the television on? He said, yes. I said, was the television like saying anything? Do you remember what the television said? He said, oh, yeah, the television was saying some of everything. He said, I just don't remember what the mannequin said. The message that the mannequins were saying, they're not mannequins, they were angels, but he described them as mannequins. He said the messages that the mannequins were saying was not very clear, but they would say in the year 2013, in the year 2014, in the year all the way up to 2017, he said as soon as they would speak, images would pop up on the television screen. So basically what they were saying was in the screen of the television. Now, if he said, well, I don't remember what was on the television screen, then that dream is going to come back to him, and God is going to, you know, release the dream more and more and more to him. So what happened was, just by chance, he was able to remember what all he saw. And the flooding that happened just now with Hurricane Sandy, he saw that in the dream. All of this stuff that happened, and we was telling Prophetess Tayana this a couple of months ago, and all of these things that we were talking about has already happened, at least three things already that he heard happen. I said that to you, woman of God, to say this to you. Those letters are going to mean a lot to you. I hope you don't think, God knows, I can't go past the Spirit of the Lord. And I pray that you don't think that I'm not giving you an interpretation. But the house, the mother, your mother's house, it represents your spirit. Anytime you're dealing with the house, or it represents the spirit of that person. And the fact that this was your mother's house, this is dealing with your mother's spirit. But it's going to be very important that you dream about those letters, and God is going to show them to you. He's opening it up, and I do hear the Lord saying that to you. He's revealing it to you. These are things that may not be, it may be information that cannot be released over this line, because God knows what we're going to do before we do those things. And sometimes some people can't handle what it is that God is going to say. Those letters are going to mean so much. I promise you, God is going to give you the interpretation through your letters. Those letters are saying something to you. Now in the dream, as you dream more about your mother's house or your mother's spirit, now there's a man that is appearing in the dream. He represents the Spirit of the Lord, and he's giving you instructions about the other mailbox and these mailboxes being shorter and things like that. All of these are dealing, it deals with messages. It deals with the way that the message is coming, and it may have a lot to do with her death. I don't know how she died. How did she die?
My mother died of lupus. Here's the thing.
Oh, okay.
When I woke up, I felt like that it had something to do with my father's side of the family killing my mother through the spirit because of witchcraft. But then as I was talking to one of my friends who's a prophetess, because we share dreams with each other, she posed a question to me as to, why would that be important to you now? Because in a sense, it's really, I asked the very same thing, because nobody is alive to be able to tell me anything in reference to anything about anybody. My father just died March of this year. My mother been dead since 79. His sisters have died through the years. My grandmother, everybody. So, you know, it's like nobody can tell me anything. I also, houses represent foundations, and I know it also represents ministries as well. So I'm sensing that the Lord was bringing me to a place, it was like me coming to, thank you, Lord. It was like me coming to a place to receive prophetic words from him, revelation. But he has not yet revealed that to me, because the letters were closed. So that's like closed revelations. What's throwing me off is certain things, is that my brother has now been appearing in my dreams, and he has been a silent part. And I've been dreaming, I dreamed about another house that had another house on the property. And so, but my brother has been in my dreams lately. My brother lives in Cocoa, Florida. And he has been in my dreams. He has either been behind me, close by, or next to me, close by. But he never really says anything except for in that last dream that I told you about with my, you know, with the car. And him being on drugs back at that time. But I guess I'm thrown off because now the mailbox has been changed. The position has been changed.
Okay.
And is shorter.
Oh,
that's what's thrown
off.
And I understood the older man as being a revelatory person, whether it's the Holy Spirit or a person of wisdom. I understood him to be somebody to bring something to, you know, there as wisdom per se.
Has God ever dealt with you about relocating from where you are now?
I'm not sure. That's I have sought him concerning that.
When you said that, right there, when you said about the mailboxes being in a different position, and you, Lord, that's exactly what that is. And sometimes that happens. It hits you like a Met truck sometimes. When you said that this man told you, look, I have a mailbox right here. Basically what the Lord is saying, I have need of you over here.
Mm-hmm.
And those letters, all of those letters, and it's a blessing that you have not entered into your mother's house, because in some cases there would signify some type of death or some sort, not always a natural death
or something, the end of a thing. Mm-hmm. I have entered her house this month. Every year I have never entered the house. Every time I dream about the dream, I have never entered.
It's time to move.
You know what? I'm going to say that confirms something, and I know what that part of it is. The ministry that I have, I wanted it to be in the Orange Park side of town, and it has been. You know, the Lord has shown me through kind of like talking to a friend of mine too, that the ministry is to be on the north side of town, and that's where the house is located. But
yes.
Now I'm getting. In speaking to you, I can see now the relocation of the mailbox, and it's being shorter. And now in talking to you, maybe it being shorter could be that it's real soon. It's reachable now. Whereas
check
before,
this out. Okay,
the
woman of God, this is what's going to have to happen. You are going to, and I have to give it to you the way that the Lord is releasing it
now.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry.
No,
but the Lord
basically
is causing your ministry. I don't know where your ministry is right now, but you have to relocate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time for you to move. And what's going on now, the messages are not being revealed because he's not going to reveal to you the messages.
Until I get to that place.
Now, in that particular place. When you relocate, and this is dealing with your ministry, even when you said it yourself, the houses also represent ministries. It all depends on how the house comes to you. Especially if you're carrying your mother's mantle or the anointing that God had on her life or that the anointing that God wanted her to operate in that she was not able to fulfill just yet, that mantle can also be on you for you to shift to the next place. So when you shift to that next place, as soon as you move, the messages are going to open up. I wouldn't be surprised you'll start dreaming of your messages that you will have to release to the body of Christ.
You know what, that's confirmation.
By opening up you may open up a letter one day in a dream once you relocate, and it may say rebellion, and God may say teach on rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I just got. And I'm sorry it took so long because sometimes we have to really just wait for the yielding of the Spirit. But that is exactly what I'm getting. The reason why you saw the shorter mailbox, I don't know if that's going to have to do with the size of the building, with the people, you know, or anything like that. However, with the fact that you had to tiptoe and that you had to also reach in deep, this is also dealing with the depthness of your ministry. This also deals with the revelation knowledge that God has given you within your spirit. The mailbox also represent your spirit. God is shifting you. He's moving you. So it is time to move. It's time to go. And you have to go wherever the Lord is telling you to go. And when you said that the mailbox was to the right of you, this place there, it was hidden. Also, it was probably because at that particular time you had no idea where it was. But if I were you, I would take the advice of the man that was in the dream, because that man is telling you, I need you to come here. I want you to come on this side. I need you to come over here. And this is where all the messages are going to come to you. This is where I'm going to give you more of my revelation to give to this people, even if it has to do with traveling in ministries and things like that, because I do see you traveling, going from place to place, preaching the gospel in season, out of season, all of that. I see all of that. I see the gifts of healing even being operative in your life because of what your mother endured, because it was witchcraft. And the reason why I can easily say that is because cancer is so much a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Cancer is a disease, it's also a spirit, because you can worry too much and develop cancer.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Especially lupus. My mother had lupus, and she's still alive. And she just left out of my living room just not too long ago and things like that. But she just woke up one day and lupus was gone. I mean, in that order.
Wow.
I don't know how things like
wow.
that. God's just like that. And it's a spirit, because my mother dealt with worry, and she dealt with all of that. I saw her go through everything. And right when she was thinking about going through the chemotherapy and just receiving everything, I have no idea how it happened. She woke up, went to the doctor to get everything situated, and it was gone.
That's God.
You know, I have a vendetta against lupus. I have a vendetta against lupus because I often tell God, if I had known then what I know now, I know she would be alive today. You know, I know she would be alive. She died at a very young age of 41 years old.
Oh,
and God is revealing even more to me, because as growing up, my mother never even had a cold. She had only one surgery, and that was a hemorrhoidectomy. Then all of a sudden, she started developing these signs of lupus. However, she was going to dermatologists to try and find out what was going on with her, but it had gotten too far gone until one of her coworkers told her to go and see an endocrinologist. He said that he looked at her, he didn't have to diagnose her because he already knew what it was, but it was too far advanced. But he always told us, she is a fighter because she should have been dead before, you know, but however, she had a love for life and fought for life until it's overcome her. And we went through some things, and God started revealing things to me after I got saved concerning the things in my family, on both sides of my family, witchcraft on my dad's side of the family, you know, a whole bunch of stuff. But the most peculiar thing was I needed to know why that mailbox was moved and why it was shorter. That threw me off.
I hate to interrupt y'all. Prophet Sharonda, give them your email address, because time is kind of winding down, and I have other calls on the line. But like,
And I was going to ask you that because I didn't want to go in depth like that. I do apologize.
Oh, no, it's fine.
That's fine. Because I'm going to have her on the show really, really soon again concerning this, because I know a lot of people have questions about it a lot. So that's fine.
And
if you can
give them
your email address or a way they can get in contact with you, that's fine.
That's great. What also I'll do, because God is pushing, I mean, the more we try to get away from things sometimes, the more God push you right back in it. So what I would definitely do is once I release my information on how everyone can contact me, that after this call we will set up conference call lines where people can call in and get assistance with their dreams and with their visions, not to sound like psychics or anything like that, but simply to get the word across of what the Lord is really trying to tell them.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that God finally spoke that. I hate when he does that sometimes, because sometimes you have to trust the Lord. However, my information is Shamar Prophets, is Shamar Prophets, Prophets, @gmail.com.
Okay.
Is this one word, Shamar Prophets, is one word, @gmail.com. You can email me. And you can also find me on Facebook. And there would be, of course, facebook.com/ Hadassah, HHADASSAH. And if you want to be certain that that's me, my name on there would be Sharonda, the Cake Lady Sherelle, because I bake cakes and things like that for his Lord. So I do all of that. But, yes, you will know that it's me. And also,
and if you guys also have a problem, just if you on my Facebook fan page, just inbox me and I can give you more information as well.
Okay.
Yes, please, because I don't have computer savvy. Y'all praying. Amen.
Okay. All right, Apostle Baker, we'll talk to you.
Email.
If you want to contact her, just just you could call. You have my number, so you can call me.
Yes. Uh huh. Okay.
All
Thank
right.
you.
All right. We're gonna take this other caller.
Okay.
Hello, caller. You're on the line.
Yes. Hey, Prophetess.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey. I was calling. I have like one or two things to ask you.
Okay.
I've been going through some things like with my church, and one of the things that you was saying that I was hearing about the tradition, and
yes.
and I know someone, well not someone, I'm sorry, a prophetess and a prophet came to me and said that I have the gift of prophecy, and I know God uses me through my dreams and visions, and so
mm-hmm.
there's a decision that I had to make. For this past couple of weeks that God has been really dealing with me is about leaving the church that I was at. And
mm-hmm.
and this past week I went in and I talked with my pastor and I talked with my first lady. And I told them that it was somebody that went and told them that when I leave the church I was going to go and prophesy. And I said, well, no, I said, I'm not going to do that. I said, because it's all in God's timing. So I said, but I do know the gifts inside of me, and the lady said, she was like, well, that God didn't show your pastor that. So I she was like, well, he didn't show your pastor that. He said that God is using you in a mighty way, but he didn't show your pastor that. So I said, and that kind of like troubled me or whatever. And I was like, well, God, I know what you showed me. So I went to this other church on Sunday. And this prophetess, she came to me and she said, God is saying move from the church that you're at. Because I prayed before I went in. I said, God, if this is a word for me, just, give me that, give me the word that I need for today. And
yeah.
And so that's what she told me. She said, because you're being held down there, so that the gift that you have inside of you, it cannot be used there. And
yeah.
So she said, you will prophesy. She said it three times, and then she was like, well, God, because God showed you these dreams and these visions. You may not fully understand it yet, but you will. She said, once you get out that place, because you're not being used there, they know that you have it, but they just don't want you to use it there. And I'm just like, oh, okay. And I needed some, like, guidance and some direction with that first.
Okay.
I'm
going to try to put this in a nutshell. The thing about being a prophet, I'm only dealing with those who are truly called to the office of a prophet, not somebody who's just claiming it. And clearly that's not what you're doing, so not saying that, but you have people out here who claim that office, and they really don't have any experiences or anything of the like. However, what happens is when prophets enter into a place and they're true prophets of the Lord, for some reason, the Bible says that the eye can't say to the hand, because you're the eye, I have no need of you. And that is some of the things that the Apostle Paul began to minister to the Church of Corinth about people pointing and saying, well, you are this and I'm that and you're staying down here. And that's what's going on in the body of Christ. And because of that, that's what's happening to you. So it's almost like you are warming benches and God needs you to go out of that. He needs you to step outside of the box so that he can use you. And the reason why I can safely say that is because of the confirmation that you received from the woman of God who ministered to you, the fact that you went and you consulted the Lord. And that was a good thing, even though the word that the first person gave you was very accurate and that it was on point, it was still good of you to still consult the word, because one thing about prophecy, we have to judge the word. And we have to, you can't just receive a prophecy and not judge the word. And how do you judge the word? You have to go to the Lord in prayer and say, God, did you send this word? Is this accurate? Judging the word, does it line up with the word of God? Is this word bizarre? Is it bearing witness in my spirit? And God, I know I possess the spirit of Christ on the inside of me, so it's bearing witness with my spirit, meaning that it is truth, because the truth, you know, the spirit of Christ, it will bear witness with the spirit of Christ that's on the inside of you. Now, I'm saying all of that, woman of God, to say this to you, that you do have to leave. It is time for you to go, because if you stay, then the anointing will continue to lie dormant. It'll continue to stay in a low place in your spirit, and it won't be until you get in obedience of the Lord. And it's not so much that you were in disobedience. It was nothing like that. But until you begin to move out on obedience, and now I think you have the for sure word that you have to do so, the gifts of God are going to be cultivated in you, and you'll find yourself moving and doing a lot more. Had I stayed at the church where the lady told me to stop, to ask God to stop my dreams, had I stayed there at that church, I would not be where I am right now. I would not be interpreting dreams. I would not be consulting the Lord concerning other people's dreams, including my own, because as far as she's concerned, she wanted me to stop because she didn't know. She didn't understand me. The prophetic anointing, for some reason, pastors are so threatened by that.
Mm-hmm.
People who are who operate in the office of a pastor are sometimes going to butt head with the apostles and the prophets.
Yes.
Especially because of the position that it carries in the fivefold, being that the highest ranking would be the apostles, then up under the apostles is the prophets, then the pastors, and then the teachers, I mean the evangelists, and then the teachers. And what they don't understand, that the greatest of the fivefold is really, if you ask me, is the office of a teacher, because before you operate in any of the offices, you have first had to be taught the word.
Yes.
Everything, you have to be taught. And so with that being said, woman of God, you have to obey the Lord in that, and you're going to watch God move in your life with the prophetic anointing and things like that. And so, yes. And sometimes it could be because of tradition in their church. But that'll be something that God will reveal to you.
Yeah. Thank you. And I want to ask you right quick. This dream that I had, it was I was in the church that I go to now, and my pastor asked me, he said he want me to pray. And when he called me up there, he said, she going to go at it because she's powerful. She's a powerful prayer. She's a woman of God that prays. She's going to go at it. So I went up there and I started praying, and I was just praying my heart out, and it was a lot of people there, and I stopped. He stopped me. This is happening in a dream. He stopped me, and he said, well, just calm down a little bit. Calm down. And I said, well, I'm getting ready. He said, I'm getting ready to prophesy. I told him, I kind of looked at him. I said, I'm getting ready to prophesy and over some people. And when I told him that, he kind of looked at me. So it was a lot of people that was, like, walking kind of, like, behind me and standing behind me. And I remember when this one lady, she came up to me, and she had a white tissue because I looked back because I had some gum in my mouth. And I looked back, and she came up with the tissue, and I spit the gum on the tissue to her. And after I did that, I turned around and I just started prophesying over some people. And then I woke up. But he told me, he said, well, just calm down after I was praying. So I didn't,
wow. You know what? My fiance is sitting here and he's listening, and he was just asking a question. And the question he asked was the same question I had. It's funny how you speak in my mind right now, but. Do they flow? Do they flow in the anointing? Do they flow in the gifts of the Spirit fluently?
No.
Well, there you go. And that's why he wants you to calm down. You got to go. You don't have a choice. You can, ma'am, you can't be a prophet and you sit in a dry land.
Yeah.
You cannot. Yeah. You cannot. You will dry up and you will wither and die in that church. You have to go. You got to go to a place where the gifts of God will be cultivated.
And I just thank you because that's confirmation. Because someone told me, this apostle told me, said God is saying that you're spiritually dying, but he's getting ready to turn some things around for you and where your gifts will make room for you. He told me this about a month or so ago, and when the lady told me on Sunday, she said they can't handle the gift that you have.
No, they can't.
Yeah. Oh,
mm-hmm.
Jesus.
They can't. And I felt the spirit of intimidation in that church. If they were to release you, they would snatch you right back out the pulpit so fast. They wouldn't allow you to say anything else. You would die in that church. And please understand, I'm not talking about a natural death. Like, oh, my God, my death is coming. No, your death is coming, all right. It'll be in the realm of the spirit, and that would be just as worse. So you don't want that to happen. That's why God showed you that. Just the fact that the lady hands you a piece of tissue to spit the gum out, I can almost tell you between two different denominations, I can almost tell you exactly what it is because of that. And, of course, you don't want to talk with gum in your mouth, but, you know, there are certain people who feel like, you don't chew gum in this church, you're going to hell.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes God has a sense of humor and things like that. However, just leave. Y'all would have to contact me on my email.
Yes,
oh,
please.
My God, if God does not have
okay,
a word
because
for you.
I hate to cut you guys off, but I have three other callers, and we have 25
That's
minutes.
Fine.
So
okay. Can I get that email?
Yes, it's shamarprophets@gmail.com.
It's S-H-A-M-A-R, then prophets with an S.
Yes, prophet. Plural, yes.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Oh, to God be the glory.
And y'all have a blessed one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay, we have three other calls, and we're going to try to wrap this up.
Okay. Each
call, no more than like 4 minutes, because we got three other calls, and I don't know how long it's going to be. So, all right, let's take the next one.
Oh, and while you're taking
hello,
the next caller, call,
you
I
on
will
the line.
Say this.
Hello. Hi.
Hello. I'm here. I would say this, if you can, for the next three calls, try to state the main things of your dreams, because every single detail may not be very important, and that's a teaching itself, but try to state some of the main things of your dreams, because some of the main symbols that stand out, okay, in a nutshell, just tell what stood out to you the most in a dream.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
okay,
God was, he could still speak even that way.
Yes. Okay, call from the 661 area code. You're on the line. Hello? Let's take the next call.
Okay.
Hello, caller. You're on the line. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, you on the line?
Hello.
You on the line?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello? Yes,
you're
we
on
can
the
hear
line?
You.
We can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure because I got a lot of noise going on in the background.
Okay.
I'm calling because I relocated to Charlotte, North Carolina, about 5 years ago. When I came here, I stayed in a hotel because I was trying to get established, and I had to, and as a side note, right now I don't dream because I have insomnia, so unless I take a sleep aid, I don't sleep, but this particular dream stands out, it has been standing out in my mind for 5 years, because that night as I slept in the hotel, it was like Indians, ancestors, I heard chants in the background. It was weird. So the dream, I always reference back to the dream because since I've been here in Charlotte, I struggled so much. And at first I was like, well, maybe it wasn't part of God's plan for me to come here, but I'm more at peace spiritually and mentally. I'm just not financially where I want to be at. So I always was curious about that particular dream.
Okay, when you see Indians,
That, it could have been Africans. I'm sorry. It could have been Africans. It could have been Indians. But I just remember hearing chants. I just remember it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Those are curses. Those are generational curses. Anytime you see, especially foreign people in your dream that are chanting, and if it sets you into confusion at any time, it represents generational curses, which would explain why you're dealing with insomnia. So basically what has to happen is God's got to break the curse over your life that somebody has placed over you. Someone, I don't know if it's in your family, someone who you came in contact with or anything, but someone who dealt heavily in witchcraft placed a curse over your life.
Oh, my word. My word. Sometimes I'll dream and I will have to fight my way out of the dream. Literally, like somebody trying to take my breath away. And see, I was wordless for a minute, so I'm thinking it's just anxiety. I'm waking up thinking, okay, that was just a little anxiety attack. But until I start walking in the faith, I started understanding somebody is after me. Per se.
Oh my God, the spirit of Mayor, what we call nightmare, that's another teach in itself. That's a long
The what now? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. The what?
It's called the spirit of Mayor or nightmare. And a nightmare is not just, it's just a scary dream, so I had a nightmare. No, that is a spirit. The Lord, I'm going to go into this on Facebook. I want you guys to contact me and connect with me on Facebook. I'm going to go back into that teaching on the spirit of Mayor or the nightmare spirit. And God allowed me to use Freddy Krueger, because Freddy Krueger was a mayor spirit that was going around that were killing people in their sleep. But they had to be asleep in order for them to die, you know, like in real life and things like that. And that doesn't really often happen and stuff like mm-hmm. that. However, spirits are very real. Demonic forces are very real. I don't know what witch or what warlock or what person who operated just plainly out of witchcraft had came in contact with you, but for some reason I'm picking up a spirit of jealousy, and I'm picking up someone in your family, don't know if it's your mother or your father's side, and whoever has Indian, any kind of Indian descent running in your family, it will more than likely be that side. If not at all, you have to be very careful of the company that you keep, woman of God, and just be mindful of the spirit and things like that. However, God's going to break that curse.
Mm-hmm.
That's why. Mm-hmm.
No, and I received that, and you hear my voice shaking, because I want to whatever I can do to bring God into this situation to help him break it per se. Just let me know.
Hit me up in my email, shamadprophets@gmail.com. We're gonna do a conference call with all of this. I said we have to go back into this. It's so much. It's so much. And one thing, before you leave, woman of God, don't get in fear. Whatever you do, do not operate in fear. Don't say, oh, Lord, it's a curse on me, Jesus. Don't get like that. Trust me, it's nothing that God can't do. It's nothing. And just with you dreaming that, trust me, I've been through so much when it comes down to dream with way, 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 way worse than that. And so there's nothing, there's not one problem that's too large that God cannot solve, not one.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because I'm the one that have the fish dreams and can tell somebody they're pregnant. That was me. I'm the one that can be like, oh, I dreamed about fish and all that. So when it started coming at me in my dreams, I would get up. Like the other day, I kept dreaming about eating spaghetti. And I had been talking with Tiana, and Tiana know I grew up AME, so this is new to me. So I went online, I Googled it, dreaming of spaghetti, you know, whatever, whatever. So now I'm very, very conscious of my dreams. But that dream where I literally have to fight myself out of it, like somebody is sitting on me, that bothers me. Because I'm like, one day I may not fight out of it.
Yes. And I'm going to leave you with this last thing. You may have to consider packing your bags and moving up out of Charlotte, North Carolina, because it has a lot to do with the area that you're in.
Mm-hmm. No. Well, I want to stay here. I really do.
I know. It's so funny. I would like to stay in Memphis, but the more I stay in Memphis, the more I realize it's the perfect will of God for me to leave.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I appreciate that, and I love what you, Tiana, fiance, all you guys are doing. It's a blessing, especially with somebody like me that's not familiar with everything. It's on my level, and I love it. And y'all keep doing it.
Amen.
Oh, to God be the glory. God bless you.
Thank you.
God bless you. Bye. Okay, we have one more call after this.
Oh, okay.
The caller. Hello, caller. You're on the line.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello. Yes, we can hear you. Yes.
Okay, hi. Hi, how are you? Good evening.
Fine, how are you?
Okay, my dream, I kind of chimed in later, so it sounds like you guys are taking dreams. and the one that, there's actually a few of them, and I was just trying to figure out which one to share, but I'll share the most recent. I was walking with my two sons, who are 18 and over, and there was a man on the left side of my younger son, and he kind of like pushed him a little bit and just pushed him again. And I'm looking at him saying, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing? And, you know, what, just basically, what the heck are you doing? You know, and then we ended up inside. We were walking towards the building, and then at some point we ended up inside the building, and the man was standing in our window. And meanwhile, we weren't even on the first floor, but somehow he was in our window, and he actually had a snake in his hand. And he, again, was trying to brush off on my younger son, and then he touched the arm of my older son and just kind of brushed his arm. And then I'm looking at him like, what are you doing? What the heck are you doing here? You know, get out of here. And then he actually, as he was leaving, hit me in the mouth with the snake. Well, he tried to hit me, and I kind of backed up, and just the tail of the snake hit my lip, and I remember touching my lip, and there was like goo on my finger, but just kind of wiped it off. The man that was in the dream, I recognized him to be my ex-friend's ex-boyfriend, so it was kind of baffling because I haven't spoken to neither of them in several years. So, yeah.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Okay, God is dealing with you concerning your son, and you need to keep a close eye on who your sons are hanging around, the influence that they have, because there could be a male influence in their life who is a snake. Anytime a person is handling a snake, this is a person who operates out of manipulation. I don't know why I'm picking up an adult or anything like that, but just keep a close watch on your sons in the realm of the spirit. This is where Shamar comes in. This is not my ministry, Shamar, of course, but this is where you being the Shamar of your house comes in, where you have to be the protector of that house, of your boys in the realm of the spirit. And I'm sensing danger, not anything serious, not that type of danger, but spiritually I'm sensing danger, especially whoever this person is may have a certain type of lust spirit. The fact that he brushed up against your son's arm, one of your son's arm, maybe your younger son, and things of that nature, especially with what we're dealing with right now with this particular generation that we're dealing with now, watch them, watch them. And I know they're grown, and I know they're older in age, but you can still watch them in the realm of the spirit, and you can also govern them in their spirit, even in their own spirit, even when they can't govern themselves, and even when they don't have the wisdom and the knowledge and the revelation that you may have. Basically, God is telling you to begin to pray for them, pray for their protection, pray that God cover them, that God will deal with them strongly about where they will sit there, where they will place their feet to, about where they will go, who they're hanging out with, who they're talking to, who they're trusting with personal information concerning you. It could be someone in your son's life. They may be speaking against you in a very slick and a sly kind of sense. They, Lord, know And I don't know if they still are in contact at all with a male who you used to be in contact with. It may not have to, it doesn't necessarily have to be an ex-boyfriend, but whoever it is, this is somebody who you have no idea who it is. The reason why I can say that is because of what you said. Well, I haven't had any dealings with this man in so many years, an XYZ amount of years. So this could be somebody who you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But your sons know. Begin to pray for them. And I'm feeling that in the realm of the spirit, begin to break some soul ties with them and other people. Begin to just go in the realm of the spirit, woman of God, and just begin to break stuff up in the spirit concerning the life of your boys, because God want to use them. God has a special anointing and a special call over their life, but there are people in their ears. And I see people talking to them. I see ungodly influences that surrounding your sons. And they're good boys. They're great young men. And they love you. And they, I mean, and I know you know this, and they love you and have respect for you. But there's some ungodly influences that's taking place around them. I break that spirit of manipulation and ungodly control right now that may be surrounding those boys in the name of Jesus. And I send the blood of Jesus to them even now. Because I didn't feel an urgency to just wait. I felt the urgency to release the anointing to cover them even now.
Yes.
That they don't make wrong decisions.
Yes.
My younger son actually was visiting his dad after he just graduated high school. And he was ready and set to go to Nyack College, Christian College here in New York. And his dad actually manipulated him into going to the military. He's not in the military. He's actually still at his dad's house. And I believe it has possibly something to do with him because the family is a manipulative type of family. And
has anybody, and maybe I shouldn't be asking this, has anybody been touched the wrong way?
My older son was physically abused by, but he never revealed any touching.
Yeah.
But it's a possibility.
It doesn't matter.
That thought actually keeps coming to mind, wondering
if
that had ever happened in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's ungodly control. It doesn't matter if it was touch in the way of molestation or if it was touch as in being physical. I have a sister
mm-hmm.
right now. She's not a blood sister, but we had her since she was 3 weeks old. She's 16 years old now.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother is in and out of town, and her mother's boyfriend is keeping her and watching over her and has jumped on her. And I looked
mm-hmm.
at her, and I told my fiance, I said, somebody's touching my sister. Somebody's touching her. But I didn't know in what way and why she was so violent and so rough. And this man had been jumping on her, you know,
mm-hmm.
and doing all this stuff where she has to literally fight this man like a grown man, like she's a grown woman in the street, have to
mm-hmm.
literally fight this guy. And things like that. And so that's why I was asking. That's why I was sensing some type of danger there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just cover him in prayer. Keep him covered in prayer.
Yeah.
Both of them, yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's
a
lot. Thank you so much. Thank you for your help.
Okay. God bless you. Okay, we have one more call.
That's fine.
We have one more call, and we're going to take this call no more than like 3 or 4 minutes. I know everybody's trying to call in. We're going to have to get it, make some longer time on here, but right now we only have a 2-hour limit, so let's get them on the call.
Okay.
Hello, caller, you on the line?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, hi. I found you by accident, Prophetess. God bless you. I was on my way to the movie, but here on the phone tonight. I have, I guess, a couple of, try to make it quick, questions. I had a dream about maybe 19 years ago of a new baby in Christ. And in that dream, I just knew in my spirit I was in a foreign country, and I was heading towards some type of building. And I was holding the hand of, I guess I assume it was my husband, and all I felt in the spirit, I just remember feeling that he had a word from God. I couldn't see his face. The Lord would not allow me to even see his face, his hand. I knew I was holding his hand. I could feel, you know, that in that dream that I was, you know, in love. And I remember seeing there were, like, other couples, I guess, around us. And the primary thing I remember is that he had a word from God in his spirit. And I never had a dream like that where you could discern what was in the spirit of the other person. And it's interesting because the Lord reminded me about that dream. I do have a friend. We're just friends at the moment, but we got into a couple of arguments or disagreements, and I just thought, wow, why is this so hard? And I even asked him, is it personality conflict? Is it just the enemy just fighting against our friendship? Why, you know, do we have these conflicts in getting along? And I posed that question to him. And the other dream that I had was around 9 or 10 years ago, too. I saw the earth. I was on the phone. It was really a vision, a closed vision. I saw the earth, and out of the earth came the words W-A-L-K, walk. And they were white. And after they grew almost like a plant out of the earth, really large. After that, it was like I was kind of looking, my view, I was almost kind of in space looking at the earth. The words walked, they grew, and after they grew into that, the fullness of the word, it just caught on fire. And after the words walked went like ablaze, then I saw this light coming through. I assumed that it was Jesus. I don't know what other bright light could it be walking towards me, and then immediately the vision was over. Okay, that's it.
Yes, because
that's
have life.
An apostolic call. That is definitely, you have an apostolic call on your life. I don't know where your walk is with the Lord right now, but I do feel released to tell you that you have such a strong apostolic anointing on your life. You have to email me, because just for the sake of time,
okay.
It's so much, so much. Again, my contact information and my email is shamarprophets@gmail.com. And if you all are connected to Prophetess Tiana, please hit her up. I will, as soon as we are off of this call, I will go straight on her page and I will make a post, anything. We have got to get a conference call. It's so much that you guys need to know. You need to know about the mare spirit, which is the spirit of nightmare. You need to know about incubus and succubus. You need to know about God releasing mysteries in your dreams. You need to know about waking dreams. You need to know about visions, dreams within a dream, messages in a dream, people coming to you in dream. What does symbols represent in dreams? You need to know what does colors, what does numbers represent in dreams. You need to know what does a dark dream mean? What is a black and white dream? And can my dreams possibly be induced by chemicals? I took medication and ended up having these crazy dreams. And you know, I'm pregnant and I'm dreaming this. We need to, it's so much. It's so much.
Well,
so
you guys,
much.
We have like 3 minutes left. I want you guys to listen to my outro, because it'll have all my information where she can get in contact with you guys and you guys can get in contact with her, because I don't know, I have people that's here in Jacksonville and I have people pretty much calling all over. So you guys, if you listen to the outro, it'll tell you how you can contact my ministry, and I will make sure you get in contact with Prophetess Riley.
Okay.
You guys stay tuned. We shall have her again really, really soon, hopefully this month. So you guys stay tuned for that. I love you guys, and we will talk to you later. Goodbye.
We are so thankful you decided to join us this week. To keep up with ministry updates, go to www.TianaCopelandMinistries.org and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/TianaCopelandMinistries. Join us next time and make sure you invite everyone to join us as well. We pray for you, you, and you, that the blessing of the Lord maketh it rich and addeth no sorrow with it. Proverbs 10:22, God bless. And all will